Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
All right, welcome everybody to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We got a great show for you tonight. ADHD Hope, Advocacy, and News, the 2016 CHAD Conference. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman. For those of you that are listening, tonight kicks off our version of ADHD Awareness Month, which runs the month of October. If you'd like to learn more about how ADHD Awareness Month came about, search our archives for just Google Attention Talk Radio and ADHD Aware. We did an interview several years ago chronicling the story of the Senate resolution back, I think it was 2004, that actually started all this kind of craziness. Originally, it was a day. Now we got a whole month. Real quickly, today is Wednesday, October the 5th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, Dr. Tuckman is in our studio. We'll be talking to him about the upcoming CHAD conference, but we've got a lot of great interviews that we're going to give to you. And we're going to turn it on its head. We've got inspired celebrities. We've got international speakers. We've got Western medicine turned on its head. And we got a story of advocacy that will knock your socks off. Real quickly, this is about advocacy. This is about the CHAD conference. And the 2016 CHAD conference is coming up November the 10th through the 12th in Costa Mesa, California. To learn more about that, go to chadd.org. Again, with us in the house is Dr. Ari Tuckman. He's actually the chair of the conference, which we'll be getting into us for a second. But real quickly, tonight's show and many of our shows are being brought to you by CHAD, so they've got a little tip we want to share with you before we kick off the show. So here we go.
ADHD challenges continue into adulthood for 35 to 65% of children with ADHD. Finding strengths, building resilience, and learning to self-advocate will improve your child's chances of succeeding in college, vocational school, or the workforce. Learn how to prepare your child for life beyond high school at CHAD's annual conference on ADHD in Costa Mesa, California this November. More information at chad.org, chadd.org.
All right, everybody. So let's get into the meat of it. Again, with us tonight is the Dr. Ari Tuckman, the poor white clinical psychologist living in Pennsylvania, barely getting by, but full-time volunteer at CHAD. I say that because it must be a calling, because he's been a conference chair the last 2 years and has been very involved in the ADHD community for many, many years, volunteering his time and effort. To plug him real quick, you can learn more about him at adultadhdbook.com, and I would really highly suggest you check out one of his books, More Attention, Less Deficit: Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. He's an international speaker, and I say international, I do mean international. He's just gone and given a presentation once. He's flown overseas many times, consulted, done a whole bunch of stuff. He's absolutely spectacular. But he is a full-time CHAD volunteer, I think, and I wonder how he ever makes any money, but still, he's a great asset. So, Dr. Tuckman, welcome to the show.
It is always a pleasure to be here.
So you have put together a spectacular, and I mean spectacular, conference that's coming up in Costa Mesa, California. And tonight we're going to we did some pre-interviews with several keynote speakers, and really another interview with Dr. Jeffrey Katz, who was on the policy committee that tells the story of advocacy that I think is will really talk about why everybody should be kind of involved with CHAD and what they do in terms of advocacy. And so I want to get into some of the clips that we have to preview the upcoming conference. But real quickly, just give us a quick rundown. What can we expect? What's the theme? And give us a little bit of scoop of the conference.
Sure. So first of all, I need to say, in full disclosure, there's lots of other very good people helping me put this thing together. And I'm the co-chair, but I definitely couldn't do it without the people at CHAD and the volunteers and everybody else. So conferences like this are a big production. But the theme of the conference this year is Be Extraordinary. And, you know, it's really about helping people with ADHD and the people who care about people with ADHD really kind of live the best life that they can, that ADHD is a part of your life, but it doesn't need to be all of your life, and it doesn't need to unnecessarily define or limit your life. So we've got speakers talking about all sorts of stuff, anything related to ADHD, from education to treatment to, you know, how to life skills at home, stuff at work, you know, coaches, organizers, physicians, everything that has to do with ADHD, we're talking about it at the conference.
And that's spectacular. And so let's get into the meat of stuff. And you said it's about being extraordinary. And I want to run our first clip. I interviewed all the clips I'm going to play for you. We interviewed in advance. Lee Steinberg is, I think, the keynote speaker kicking things off on Thursday night when the conference begins. Is that right?
I think he is, yeah.
And everybody, you might not know the name Lee Steinberg, but you might know the movie that's inspired by Lee Steinberg being Jerry Maguire. Show me the money and the tagline, then you had me at hello. It was great getting to know him and run this tape. And I think he's actually extraordinary, and I think his story is. So let's roll the tape, and we'll have a little discussion afterwards. So here we go.
We're here with Lee Steinberg, who is a featured speaker at this year's 2016 CHED conference. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Tell us what you'll be speaking about this year in your keynote address.
I'm really excited to be speaking at the CHAD conference to bring attention to attention deficit disorder. I've experienced it in my own family and know just how frustrating it can be. In my professional career as a sports agent, we see the effects of ADD quite frequently in a younger generation that struggles to assimilate information, and then they have a necessity as athletes to employ it in real time. So their ability to assimilate information, to translate it into rapid action, is key to their success. So any techniques that help them to master a complex world are not just helpful to them, they help them perform better as athletes and enhance their performance. And I represent football players. That's
mm-hmm.
our national passion right now in the NFL.
Yep.
And so there are so many practical applications of how managing ADD can enhance the life of an individual. And I'll talk about it in my own family, and I'll talk about it in the professional work I do.
Wow, that's great. So you'll be telling a couple stories while you're up there, huh?
Yes. It's a wild, rollicking world that I've spent 42 years in, representing football, baseball, basketball players, boxers, gymnasts, and they live life on center stage, and I'm going to show how the same problem, which can stop a young person from doing well in school, also has to be mastered by their public idols and figures.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. It's fascinating to me because I think this is a really great topic, particularly with athletes, both the good and the more challenging side. So. I have a question that you might have answered this kind of indirectly, but I still would like to ask, what excites you about this material? I mean, you're called to come speak to that. Are you just excited about, like, having an impact or getting the word out? Tell us about that a little bit.
So my dad had a core value, which is try to make a difference in the world and to help people who are somehow struggling. And ADD people don't apply to have that condition. They don't ask for it to be inflicted on them. But
yep.
here they are, and they have these challenges in interacting with the world. And you have very bright people who don't perform at certain levels and have organizational challenges and everything else. So to be in a room filled with people who are part of the solution, who have a variety of different techniques and means and are committed to helping those people that struggle with this condition is where I want to be, which is to try to light candles rather than curse the darkness.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think it was 2 years ago, Dr. Thomas Brown was a keynote speaker talking about emotion and executive function. But I know we interviewed him on our show about he works specifically with those with ADHD and high IQ. And there are some very, very intelligent people out there that just kind of struggle to execute. So I know I'm going to be real excited to hear you speak. Before we close things out, any other final comments or anything you'd like to share with our listeners? To kind of tease them. Hopefully they'll show up in California to see your chemo. So any last comments?
I think that anybody with an interest in ADD who's either struggled with it themselves, have kids who are struggling with it, or just want to know more will find this an illuminating conference.
You know, we, Lee, on our show we always talk about, we interview some great individuals on the show, but I still step aside and say there's nothing like going to Chad conference because you're in and among your tribe. You learn a lot from just the people in the hallway interacting. And my experience is when you go to Chad conference, I saw Dr. Barkley 1 year do a presentation. He was there for an hour and a half answering individual questions of people who walked up with him. So it's a great experience. So I know I'll be excited to see you there. And thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
So, Dr. Tuckman, it's kind of extraordinary some of the things that he's done, and it's fascinating to me how he kind of framed his inspiration about this to make a difference. And I really liked his quote of how, you know, people with AD don't necessarily apply for it, but they can do extraordinary things. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think that was a great quote. Actually, I kind of laughed at that one as well. But yeah, I think that, you know, what's going to be great about having him as a keynoter is that he's had the kind of experiences that very few other people have had. You know, so he says he hasn't in his family, so he has that personal connection, which isn't that unique at a Chad conference. But that he's seen it in these athletes. I think it's a really interesting thing that you've got these. Obviously, anybody he's talking to is like top-notch, you know, cream-of-the-crop kind of high performers in certain ways, and yet they've got this other stuff going on, this ADHD part of it that they still need to address, whether it's on the field or off of the field. And I am sure that Lee has some incredible stories to share. So really looking forward to that. He's a little different than who we often get for keynoters, but I think it's going to be a really nice addition.
I you know, that's what I like, is it's a little different, but that's the variety that I like. I mean, over the years, I've always really liked the keynotes because of the differences. I remember back in 2008, there was a professional wrestler that was there that kind of told his story, and there's some of the stuff that really rings in my mind, and then we've had some others that were more academia and stuff like that, and to have Lee kind of come in and talk about this, I'm just really excited about it. Want to go to a break real quick. Before we do, real quickly, to learn more about Dr. Tuckman, go to adultadhdbook.com. And more importantly, to learn more about Chad, go to chadd.org. You can go there. You can learn about them. You can learn about advocacy. And we've got a great story at the end of the show with regard to what they do that's turning the world upside down on their heels. And you can also learn more and register for the conference. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Ari Tuchman talking about the upcoming CHAD conference at the beginning of ADHD Awareness Month. And the focus of this year's conference is Be Extraordinary. Before the break, we were listening to a clip that we did with Lee Steinberg, the inspiration behind the movie Jerry Maguire, and a keynote speaker to kick this year's conference off. I'm excited about that. I'm anxious to play the next clip, Ari, and I just kind of wanted to talk to you. And again, I know you're pulling this stuff together, and you guys have gone out and looked at speakers, but have you talked to Susan Smalley about her, what she's going to be speaking out in detail, or are you aware of it, or is this going to be a little bit new to you?
Actually, you know what? This is going to be new to me. Jim Swanson, who is a longtime researcher, is the one who brought her in. So I'm looking forward to her keynote as much as everybody is.
This is spectacular because you guys got me in touch with her. I did this interview, and she was Western medicine down to the science. And in this clip, it's interesting because she turns it on her head from a personal experience, and there's a real transformation in the context of Be Extraordinary. This is a very subtle interview. It's a little bit longer than what I wanted, but if you really listen to her and the impact of meditation, some other things I've had, I think that you'll be thinking about that. So let's roll the tape, and I'd love to get your reaction when it's over with, so let's go.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Dr. Susan Smalley, who is a featured speaker at this year's 2016 CHAD conference. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell us about what you'll be speaking about in your keynote presentation?
Yes, I'm going to talk a little bit about my own personal journey as a scientist studying attention deficit disorder and weave it in with the first-person experience of living with someone with ADHD and sort of explore the evolution of my own relationship with ADHD, starting with my origins, where I began a genetics program looking for risk genes in ADHD at UCLA and trying to understand the phenotype better, to somebody who then moved to a very deep interest in mindfulness meditation as a potential tool to help people with ADHD as well as the general population. And that led to me beginning a center at UCLA dedicated to mindfulness meditation, both research and teaching and bringing it to the community at large.
In our conversation kind of leading into this stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were very much maybe a scientist and really focused on genetics, and this personal experience that you had really brought you to mindfulness. And there was really kind of an awakening of the power of mindfulness, and it wasn't all just genetics. Is that accurate? And if so, do you want to speak to that for a second? Because I think that's kind of what really gives you some insight on this topic.
Sure. Yeah, I prior to 2012 or 2002, if someone had mentioned meditation or yoga or any kind of what I would have called a new age practice, I would have rolled my eyes and really looked at them in a cynical way. I mean, I was very much committed, hook, line, and sinker, to science as the only methodology to understand anything about the universe. And, of course, science is a powerful tool to understand things about the universe, including trying to understand attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So it doesn't mean that I discount science, but I realized through a brush with an early stage melanoma that led me down a path of exploring these practices as things that might be beneficial to me in a healing process, turned out to really radically alter my view of how we have become a little bit one-sided in the way we look at trying to understand things in the world. And so by one-sided, I mean only using what I would call the lens of reason. And science is clearly the methodology par excellence of the lens of reason. But I think there's another side to trying to understand who you are, what is meaningful to you, how do you interact with others, how do you live your life, that I would put under an umbrella or a heading of sort of the intuitive mind. There's a great quote by Einstein that got me really solidly grounded in this idea of bringing both reason and intuition together. It's a quote that's, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift, the rational mind a faithful servant. We've created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. So after 2002, I had discovered these practices of mindfulness. Many different practices can cultivate mindfulness, which is basically being present with experience in an open, curious manner. And there are many exercises and practices one can do, but they were not part of my academic training. They were not part of UCLA. They were very rarely discussed, described, et cetera, in academia, business, medicine. Thanks to a lot of leaders like Jon Kabat-Zinn and others around the country, they were starting to make their way into different medical centers. So we, early on, right after that, what I would call an epiphany of sorts, started the Mark Center at UCLA to specifically do that, to bring it into an academic institute and to begin to look at how can it be beneficial to people with ADHD, to families of people that have ADHD, to people that have anxiety, to a wide range behavioral and emotional disorder.
Well, number one, I absolutely love that Einstein quote. When you're saying, I'm like, yes, she's nailing that one. So it's a personal favorite of mine. But I think for the listeners out there, I want to kind of underscore something is that when you're convinced that the lens of reason is kind of through science, and you personally went through that experience and you had that epiphany and kind of changed it and realized the power of it, it's I think your testimony that you'll be able to give on this will not only be powerful, but I mean, it's really meaningful, because to change that belief system from something so rigid to something so open, I think is really, really neat. And I think very, very valuable for the ADHD community. So I'm particularly excited about your presentation. So before we close this out, any final comments or any last nuggets or insights you want to share?
Yeah, I will. One thing, as I've stepped back to even to prepare and think about what will I talk about at the CHAD conference, it's very clear to me that ADHD, and the evidence is there, ADHD is an extreme on a normal continuum, just like height. You have varying degrees of height in a population, and when you're very, very tall in a population, you'll run into challenges that someone who's the average height won't run into. And the way we now see ADHD is it's a normal continuum. People that get a diagnosis are just further out on the continuum from the average of the population. So I'm very interested in what are the strengths of being out on that end of the continuum, as well as the challenges, and how do we maximize the former and minimize the latter. So a lot of what I've been looking at are what are things people can do to do that. What genetics and genomics and understanding genetic risk is going to do is ultimately identify people way before symptoms become apparent. Now, what are you going to do to minimize impairment? What kind of preventive steps can we do? And I think that we're starting to see there are quite a few things that one can do. Mindfulness meditation is one. So I hope to shed light on the sort of what we now think of as the inheritance of ADHD. What is it that gets inherited? How is it inherited? And it's clearly multifactorial, many factors, many genetic factors. It's highly heritable, and many environmental factors that contribute and impact as well. So when you're thinking of multifactorial traits, there's going to be multifactorial things one can do to prevent impairment. And I think we're at the beginning of trying to understand what those actions are. And I hope to talk about some of those, particularly mindfulness meditation, and how it might be useful in just working with ADHD.
All right, everybody, you heard it. She's articulating it's like height, and it's got those challenges, multifactorial trait solutions. I'm telling you, this is going to be a must-see because I can already tell in your keynote there's going to be an enormous amount that you're going to be able to organize and communicate, which is one of my favorite things about CHAD conferences is it helps you give a language and context to really understand things. So, Sue, thank you so much for coming on. I'm elated and really excited about your keynote presentation. So we'll see you in California, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
Oh, my gosh, everybody. I'm sorry for that pause and delay. I was so riveted in listening to her again after the interview, I forgot to push the button to bring Ari and I back. And Ari's probably scratching his head going, oh, I know why Jeff loves this. It's all really kind of about attention. And when she shifted from, you know, science was that lens to actually kind of acknowledging mindfulness, because Ari and I, if you haven't listened to the show, you should. Ari and I do a ton of stuff on attention and lenses and stuff. And so, you know, Ari, clearly, you know, I'm ecstatic about hearing her presentation. I hope you are.
Well, yeah, I mean, in some ways, she is what's great about the CHAD conference, because she nails it all. There's the personal angle, there's the hardcore research, there's the clinical application, and it's the bringing it all together. You know, and that's what's really great about the CHAD conference is that we have all sorts of different types of people who are interested in ADHD. So it's not just like the American Psychological Association conference,
which
has a bunch of wonderful psychologists, but nobody else. So CHAD has everybody, and I think that this keynote is a great representation of everybody who's showing up.
And you know, what I loved about when interviewing her, that struck me is her – I was adamant, like I would scoff at anybody who said anything other than the lens of that. In her own personal transformation, she saw the light, she's given some credibility, and she's seen the bigger picture and the holistic kind of scope of this is just blowing me away. And what I loved about is she was so articulate in the way she described in height and multifactorial and Einstein quote that, I mean, you had me at hello on this one, Laurie. I could just listen to these two keynotes and be done. But wait, everybody, there's more. I want to play another interview before we go to a break. And forgive me here. We're going international here a little bit. And this is the next interview is Luis Jorge, who is one of the keynotes from Brazil. And I'm just going to roll the tape, and you and I can kind of follow up and kind of discuss it afterwards. But what I really like about this is a global conference. It's not a U.S. conference. And anyway, let me just let him speak for himself, and we'll comment after this. So let's roll the tape.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Luis Jorge, make that Dr. Luis Jorge, who's a featured speaker at this year's 2016 CHAD conference. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Jeff.
I'm thrilled to be speaking to you. You're down in Brazil, and we're up in Tampa right now, and we're excited about this interview and as a kind of a teaser and seeing you in California. First of all, can you tell us about what you'll be presenting on this year?
Well, Jeff, I'll be talking about some recent data on ADHD trajectories across the life cycle from childhood to adulthood. Two things are very interesting about the methodology of these studies. First, they were conducted in different countries as Brazil, New Zealand, and UK. As you know, the great majority of the research on ADHD is conducted in the US and Canada. Second, these studies were conducted in the population. What is different from studies relying just on specific and normally smaller samples from clinics or university settings? So they are much more representative of what is the reality in the population. And what is the new data that they suggest? First, that previous work conducted by the guys in Harvard, Biederman, Faraone, and others, was right suggesting that around one-fifth of those affected by ADHD in childhood continue to have the full syndrome, meaning the full symptoms and impairment in adulthood. Second, and more surprisingly, that the majority of ADHD cases in adulthood does not have the full syndrome in childhood. This is an opposite direction of what we always assumed, that ADHD is a child onset neurodevelopmental disorder.
This is really, really exciting. And so as you studied that, Any things that you found that was unexpected or other kind of ahas in that data?
Yeah, let me give you, Jeff, an idea how I enter in this area. In 2015, I was invited to work on a paper by Terry Muffet from the Duke University and some other colleagues addressing this issue of ADHD trajectories in the Dunedin cohort in New Zealand. They had found for the first time this very interesting finding of adult onset ADHD when assessing the trajectories of ADHD from childhood to 33 years of age. Initially, I was very surprised and thought that something should be wrong in the data set. However, even with a more careful inspection of the data, the findings were pretty much the same. So we decided to assess ADHD trajectories in our birth cohort in the Brazilian sample. The findings were remarkably similar. And at the same time, a group working with another birth cohort in England got the same results. This is the e-risk study. So nowadays we have three different cohorts in the population showing that a substantial proportion of adults that have ADHD began their symptoms in adulthood and not in childhood.
That's interesting. I'm just kind of curious, and again, if you're not comfortable answering this, but if it's the beginning of adulthood, did they always have it and the symptoms are just the world's getting more complicated, it's manifesting, or is it really just maturing at that point in time and coming around? Just, again, just any speculation, thoughts on that?
Yeah, the idea is that this data is connected with the neurobiological data suggesting an interaction between genes and environment in complex disorders like hypertension or ADHD. In other words, when you have a not so strong genetic vulnerability for ADHD and you have a good cognitive reserve and family support, ADHD might appear not in childhood, but only in adulthood, when you are facing challenges associated with more autonomy, independence, but also more demands of attention and executive functioning. So the idea is that you probably have a substantial proportion of people that only manifest the symptoms when they are more, they have a huge challenge in terms of the environment.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm no scientist, I'm just a coach, but I've also speculated for years that more adults are getting diagnosed with ADHD because our society is changing much more to self-service. And I know years ago, I used to be in the working world and there was a problem, and people took care of the copiers or the printers or something like that. Now I do that stuff all the time among a gazillion other things, and keeping up with that, it's mind-blowing. So again, I got no data on it, but I know that I'm going to be really, really excited to hear what you're talking about in more depth. Before we wrap things up, any final thoughts or anything you want to share before we see you in California?
Only that I am looking forward to be in the CHAD Annual International Conference. And I think that, as usual, I'm sure that this will be a great chance to improve our knowledge and to exchange experiences on ADHD. I think I really think that nobody interested in ADHD should lose this opportunity. And Jeff, again, thanks for having me in the show.
No, it's really my pleasure, my thrill, and I'm looking forward to seeing there. So everybody, go check out, sign up for the CHADD conference at chadd.org. And Dr. Horgy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
So Ari, aren't you proud of yourself for this lineup you put together?
I know. Actually, I'm proud that we let Jim Swanson put this lineup together.
you're the architect of pulling this stuff together. I mean, it's funny because we got this Brazilian researcher that's coming out and it's pulling this stuff together and bringing this stuff in. We've got people that are turning like science on head and they're pulling this stuff together and advocating. It's really kind of amazing the content that you've got. And this what he's described in the research that's going outside the United States is it's phenomenal to me.
Well, it is. I mean, this is a The first time I saw anything about this was a friend of mine emailed this to a few of us and said, what do you make of this? And our responses were like, clearly they screwed up the analysis. This can't be right because we know that ADHD doesn't show up in adulthood. It's got to be there from childhood by definition.
Yep.
And here's this thing, and there's really good data behind it, and it's totally turning things around in terms of our understanding in the field. So, like, you know, if you think that we know everything about ADHD, we do not know everything about ADHD. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that come out in the conferences that sometimes show up there before they show up anywhere else. So this is just one of those things that's going to be coming out. We've got a couple other research symposia going on with panelists talking about all sorts of stuff related to ADHD. So yeah, I mean, it's still a vibrant field. There's lots of good stuff going on.
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody out there, people come to me and say, you know, Jeff, how do you get these ideas for the shows? And sometimes I get this knucklehead idea and it bakes for a while. And when you said that, Ari, you know, the emails started about a year ago because I wanted to do a show on what we don't know about ADHD. And this has been baking on me for a while. So, you know, I'm going to be standing at the front of the line when the keynote's over with to talk to this guy about, hey, I got an idea in here. So anyway, this being said, is this research is showing up, and Chad is all pulling this stuff together. I want to go to a break, and when we come back, I've got an interview that I want to play. And before I do it, I want to kind of preview it. Is ADHD Awareness Month is about bringing awareness of what's going on, and Chad is front row and central. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. And I've said this for years. You've got to go to the conference because it's all about the tribe. You're going to hear these great keynotes, but it's as powerful having lunch with Ari or talking to him in the hall or hanging afterwards and talking to Lee or Dr. Barkley or just mixing with some peers that's powerful. The other thing is you got to align yourself with Chad because we need a strong Chad to advocate on behalf to speak with one voice. When we come back, we're going to preview an interview I did with Dr. Jeffrey Katz that is going to shed some amazing light and give you the real story on what Chad does for the ADHD community that nobody else can do. So real quickly, to learn more about Chad, sign up for the conference and more, go to chadd.org. And I really want to kind of highlight Dr. Tuckman because he does so much for the organization. So you need to check him out because he's worthwhile at adultadhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a spectacular show talking about the upcoming CHAD conference at the beginning of ADHD Awareness Month by one of the greatest ADHD community resources out there, Dr. Ari Tuckman. Dr. Tuckman, I want to play this interview, and I have to tell you, this is a very proud moment for me. We like to scoop people. We like to bring some things out. And one of the things that I like to do is I really want to get people what they need to hear. And sometimes I have to play what they want to hear. And it's frustrating to me. because everybody's like the glitz and the glamour and stuff like this. But this next clip is what I think everybody in the ADHD community needs to hear. And this is the story of advocacy of CHAD that is the reason that you need to be a CHAD member, that you need to support CHAD, that you don't necessarily see. And I want to play this clip for everybody out there. And I'm interested in your comments because, again, if you've hung with us, I hope you have. This single clip is the reason that you need to be tapped into ADHD Awareness Month, the reason you need to do a conference, and the reason that you need to be a CHAD member. And I'm actually going to ask you a question, Dr. Tucker, because it's all about advocacy. Am I wrong on that?
No, absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that CHAD does, but that advocacy piece, it's that sort of really important, invisible part of it. That, you know, if you show up at a CHAD meeting, a local meeting, or you check out the website and you learn something, or you come to the conference, that's very kind of hands-on and you can see it and feel it right in the moment. But the advocacy is the stuff that gets done behind the scenes. It's things like, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's, you know, fighting for people's rights before you have a problem and before you show up in a situation at school or at work or elsewhere, that, you know, there are people at CHAD and others who have kind of paved the way so that that interaction goes better for you than it otherwise might have.
And as you listen to this clip, realize if CHAD wasn't there, ask yourself, who would be doing that? So with that, let's roll the tape.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Jeffrey Katz, who's the co-chair of CHAD's Public Policy Committee. Dr. Katz, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jeff. Nice to be here.
You know, Dr. Katz, one of the things that I don't think that the community, ADHD community, really understands to the extent that they should is that the value of CHAD is as an advocacy. Individually, there's 17 million people with ADHD, and we all have a voice, but it's really kind of drowned out by literally life and everything else. By supporting CHAD, we speak with one voice, and being a member of the Public Policy Committee and actually the co-chair, you're involved in an advocacy that's very beneficial to the ADHD community. So there's a story that has just recently transpired with related to Section 504. Would you mind just sharing a real quick synopsis of what that story is, how it started, and where it took us?
I'd be happy to, Jeff. It was a long process, but that is what public policy advocacy is all about. Section 504 affects children with ADHD in the schools. It's actually can be a very powerful regulation. But what had happened over the years was that schools invariably did not understand how to apply Section 504. They didn't understand ADHD as a disability and what the impairment was and what to do. So we as CHAD have been getting a lot of feedback from members that 504 was not working for them in their schools and for their kids. About 3 years ago, CHAD had a conference in Washington, D.C., and the Public Policy Committee invited the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Education to come and speak. They declined the offer. That's okay. But they offered to meet with us at their offices in Washington to discuss mutual concerns. And the biggest one was Section 504. That was almost 3 years ago. So the Public Policy Committee began to have a dialogue with the Office of Civil Rights. And part of what made it work is that CHAD really is known as the go-to people. We're not selling anything. We advocate. We look for science-based evidence. And we can be reliable and expert. And that's what we could offer to the Office of Civil Rights. So we began to have a dialogue as they said that they were developing a document to tell schools what to do. And so over this course of 3 years, we had different phone meetings with them. They would ask some questions about ADHD or how it's treated or what can be done in the schools, and we would do the research. We would get the information they needed and feed it back to them. So this past July, they let us know, and we were the first to know, that they were going to be introducing what's called a Dear Colleague Letter. A Dear Colleague Letter is something the Office of Civil Rights puts together. It goes to every single school district in the United States, and it clarifies what the regulations, in this case Section 504 for ADHD, are all about. And we were so pleased because it gave these schools so much more information. It talked about issues that had come up. It had talked about how to deal with behavior. Even if a kid is gifted and getting good grades, that ADHD could be affecting them and that schools need to evaluate the kids for ADHD and then to write appropriate 504s that need to be followed through with. It was a very long effort, but it was tremendous when we heard about it, and it's tremendous to see it now being put into practice. So, yes.
Go ahead. You want to finish?
So I'm just ecstatic, and I think everyone on the Public Policy Committee is. As soon as they made that announcement, it was hitting headlines in the L.A. Times, as well as many, many special ed blogs and websites, and it will continue to be out in the news as schools have to work very differently with ADHD students.
And so I think it's just with what you said at a high level, everybody, is issues arise, social issues arise in the United States, and it goes to our government, and there's challenges, and they craft many times very well-intended laws in order to design to kind of help this, and then it's left to the regulatory areas to kind of work their way through that stuff, and there's a voice to be said in terms of the expertise in order to do this, and the language that was there was somewhat, I think, vague, if you will, to the schools, or maybe it wasn't necessarily being applied as well as it could have been. And any one of the 17 million people that are out there, if we were all speaking individually, I mean, there's a lot of frustrations with the outcomes of these 504 plans. But what Chad was able to do was engage in a dialogue and go in and work with the Office of Civil Rights to provide some clarity of what was written, but also to better communicate to the schools so they know what it is and how to apply it. Now, is that an accurate representation? Is
yeah.
It really just bring clarity so the schools, in other words, the more of a Swiss Army knife, tighten it up a little bit so they reduce some of the ambiguity so people could get what they needed. Is that accurate?
Yes, and that issues around ADHD with Section 504, it shouldn't vary between school districts how 504 is applied. It shouldn't vary within school districts, which often was happening, but that it should be applied equally across the United States. The Office of Civil Rights realized that a very high percentage of the complaints that they get were involving Section 504 and ADHD. And I think soon after we started talking to them, Chad, we had them do a survey of membership to get more evidence. And that seemed to really tip OCR to, you know, we really need to do something about this.
And so, of course, as from your success and the other success of the public problem, and they quadrupled your salary, right?
Oh, no, we're all volunteers. Absolutely.
That, everybody.
All volunteers. It would be wonderful to have a staff person who could do some of the grunt work, but it's all volunteer.
But still, while it's all volunteers, there's a machine behind it, that being Chad, that organizes and bring you guys together and help facilitate
Absolutely.
That. And the one thing that I want to communicate is supporting a strong Chad is supporting a strong ADHD community, so things like this can happen,
Absolutely.
That we speak in a unified voice. And while Dr. Katz and the other members of the public policy and the other co-chair, they're not paid either, it's not without cost and effort and kind of coordination. And these are the reasons why I think that the unsung reasons why you should be a member of Chad for no other reason, forget the magazine, forget the member benefits, all that stuff. The more we support, the more we can advocate on behalf of those with ADHD and have a voice. And I think this is a great outcome. Hopefully that this clarity will help schools. It will help everybody better understand what's going on. And most importantly, those who can benefit from 504 plans with ADHD can take advantage of it. So
Absolutely.
With that, anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
Just to say that Chad is the one group in the United States that is solely interested in ADHD. There are a lot of other groups out there, but they don't concentrate on ADHD like we do. I mean, and that makes it good. That's what makes Chad so good.
It does. And one other thing that you spurred is there are other organizations learning disabilities, maybe dyslexia and some other things that have some stuff, and they also are lobbying this stuff. So part of it's just not bad. It's actually carving out that niche for ADHD. So with that, yeah. Dr. Katz, on behalf of the ADHD community, thank you so much for what you do as a co-chair on the public policy committee and to the entire public policy committee for what they do. And I thank you so much for coming on the show.
And, Jeff, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I certainly appreciate what you put out for ADD and for CHAD.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All righty.
Well, everybody, I have to tell you, in listening to that interview, I have to apologize. I get a little excited about this. I can go on and on and on because I am passionate about it. So if you can let go of the level of my speech and the redundancy of it all, I do think that you can – the core message is really this is a great story of what CHAD did 3 years ago to bring in the Office of Civil Rights to do things and move stuff forward. The question is, in the absence of them, who would do that? And that's what CHAD is all about. That's what ADHD is all about. And so, Ari, you want to make any comments with regard to that, and we'll start wrapping up the show?
Sure. Yeah, so what struck – there are a lot of things that struck me, but the main thing was – this was 3 years worth of work. They spent 3 years working on this.
Yes.
This wasn't like I sent an email to my congressman. This was 3 years of one thing after another, after another, after another, shepherding this through the long and slow process that benefits tens of thousands, if not more, kids across the country. And all those kids who are benefiting don't even know how they're benefiting, don't even know why they're benefiting from it, I should say, you know, of the work of this small, dedicated group of people. So I think this is a phenomenal victory for civil rights in general and kids with ADHD in particular.
And one of the reasons why I like talking about this, Ari, because I don't think everybody pays enough attention to the advocacy role that they do that. Because while Dr. Katz and others were volunteers, there's still a machine behind that that puts that stuff together, and it takes dollars, it takes money, it takes funding, and your membership does that, going to conferences does that, everything really kind of does that. So I'm very proud and I'm very grateful for our relationship with CHAD. I'm proud that you came on to the show. I'm grateful for the opportunity to showcase this, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to kind of kick off ADHD Awareness Month in 2016 with these spectacular interviews. And Ari, I'm so excited about what you put together for this conference. I think it's going to be I can't even talk. I'm so bothered by it. So I'm going to let you. Any final comments before we close things out?
Just that I hope to see everybody there. You know, if you can make it, we're in Costa Mesa, California, about an hour outside of L.A., so we're easy access to the western half of the country, but I'm flying in from, you know, outside of Philly, so well worth the trip. And I think that you will get a lot out of the conference. And it's not just, as I always say, it's not just from the people standing at the front of the room talking, but it's from all the other interactions that you have, and that you have easy access to all these kind of amazing presenters and thinkers and writers and bloggers and everything else. So I would certainly encourage you, if you can swing it, make a point of coming out. You won't be disappointed.
And I'm going to close this out. Is that one of the most profound moments that I ever remember was a CHAD conference a couple of years ago, and Dr. Barclay was given a presentation on sluggish cognitive tempo, and he kind of came out, and I was going to do a attention talk video with him, and they kind of bird dog, and I was patiently waiting my turn to have to do the interview with him, and because I had to go at the end, and I waited for an hour and a half for the line to finish of people individually. And he sat there the entire time, patiently answered everybody's question, didn't hurt anybody off. You can't get that anywhere else on the globe when it comes to ADHD. And for that alone, you got to go to the conference. So, Ari, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being a volunteer. Thanks for putting this together. And thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks for you also.
Everybody, again, learn more about Dr. Tuckman at adultadhdbook.com. And you got to go sign up for the CHAD conference. So go to chadd.org and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.